Oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her. Hey, guys. Welcome back to 20-somethings podcast. I'm Sarah.
Welcome back, guys. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much for that, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Did you think of that right just now?
No, I've been thinking about it all day. Okay. I've been thinking about it all day.
I'm so impressed.
Amanda was basically hiding her face in her armpit to stop from laughing. And that's just the reaction I'm trying to get out of people. I love making people laugh, actually. But we're talking about cheerleading today, but more specifically, we're talking about the Netflix show Cheer, because the second season came out a few weeks ago and Amanda and I binge watched it.
We're obsessed.
Yeah.
I'm so obsessed. I actually want to watch the whole thing all over again.
I kind of do too, but I don't know if I can handle the tension. It's just, it's a nail biter for sure.
For anyone who hasn't watched it, I don't want to give everything away.
Why are you listening to this episode? Yeah.
I literally rewatched the season finale when, is his name D? Was that his name?
Yeah.
When he got, like, the move that he messed up, when he got it right.
I know.
And, like, the cinematography was so good. Like, the song that was playing. After I watched the whole season, the very next day, I was still so emotional.
Yeah.
That I literally just, like, went back and rewatched that episode, like, to the exact scene when he didn't mess up his stunt.
Oh, my God. It was one of the best moments in TV history from the past 10 years. But, yeah.
I, like, might cry just
I know. Amanda's tearing up over here. I think if you haven't seen the show, you probably won't enjoy this episode, but we're still going to have some giggles, so you can still listen. And Dad, Mom, I know you haven't seen the show. You still have to listen because you're my flesh and blood. But it's a great show for guys, for girls. It's all about athleticism, competition, teamwork, friendship.
Fame.
It's more, like, cheerleading is not just a feminine sport. It's a boss-ass, beastly sport, and you have to be pretty tough to make it far. And that, like, if you didn't have respect for cheerleaders before, you will after watching this show.
And that's why Monica, the coach, she originally wanted to make this Netflix series, was because she's like, I want the world to see these athletic beasts. And I so back her up on, she says, like, cheerleaders are the most athletic, fit people, one of the most in the world.
Yeah.
And I full-blown agree, because they're pro gymnasts, pro dancers. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And, like, for any guy who makes fun of male cheerleaders, they will so eat their words if they watch this series.
Yeah, you will. And also, get your fucking head out of your ass. It's 2022. Are you really going to make fun of a male cheerleader? Like, come on. Like,
are you going to make fun of a guy who's so strong and fit and gets to hang out with a bunch of hot girls all day?
Like, yeah.
You're just jealous.
Although, we will have an interesting discussion about the choreography aspect. But someone brought up the point that all cheer choreographers are typically gay men, and so of course the choreography is flamboyant and, like, has a little bit more of a feminine flair. And I do notice that, because I am a choreographer, so I am attuned to those details, and I can see why a straight guy wouldn't necessarily want to do all those moves. But that's just a whole other interesting topic in and of itself. There's not a ton of straight guys out there who want to be choreographers for cheer teams. It's the same in the dance industry, honestly. So that was very interesting, how they want to be out there, they want to be tumbling, they want to be doing their thing, but they don't necessarily want to do all of the glitz and glam, whereas some of the other people, you can tell that's what they live for.
So true. And they showed that a lot in season two, a lot of the more masculine men who are actually on Trinity, so the rival cheerleading team, I noticed that they weren't into they just wanted to tumble.
Yeah.
They just wanted to, like, be strong and throw girls. They didn't want to have to put on a show. They didn't want to perform.
Right.
That's what it was. Like, where you have to throw a girl up and then smile and pose. They're like, what the hell? Yeah.
And it's funny, because it, of course, that show reminded me so much of growing up as a competitive dancer. It's not the same, obviously, but it is the same in the sense where you have practice almost every night, and you have teammates, and you have people who you're competing against in some ways for the spotlight or for the top spot, but you're also, you can't make it through without them, and they become your family because you spend more time with them than you do with your actual family. And it made me so nostalgic for that environment. And you can see that in the kids, like they leave and graduate and then they end up coming back, because I'm like, are some of these kids 45? It's like they've been there for six seasons and they just keep coming back. And I think, I guess I heard a podcast on it, but they were talking about how they just have to enroll in one class to be able to be in the team. Like Gabby, for example, has been, I think she's already graduated. I think she's definitely done more than 2 years. But as long as they're doing one class with the university or with the college, they're allowed to stay on the team. And so many of those kids are only there for the team because this school is in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, Texas. So
I feel like every single one is there just for the team.
Yeah.
Every single one. And if I had that skill and was at that school, you bet your ass I'd be a 55-year-old taking, like, intro to religion
just to be on the team. It was so interesting, though, because speaking of age, obviously, they talk a lot about sexual harassment and misconduct, and we'll get into that discussion with Jerry and everything. But another thing, they brought in all these really intelligent women, lawyers, representatives, whatever. It was fascinating. It was a dark episode. I think this was episode 5. Everybody's been talking about it. It was a very dark, heavy episode. But they talk about Jerry, who was accused / basically has been found guilty of sexually harassing and trying to seduce underage boys, and he's probably going to be in prison for a long time. And that was super hard because this was like America's sweetheart, and it was a super hard pill to swallow for the public. And imagine how hard it would have been for his teammates and his family. And you can see the reaction, like these people, I think that's probably the catalyst that really defeated them. Like they had a hard year in general, so no wonder they didn't win, spoiler alert, Trinity Valley one, which I was kind of pumped about, I'm not gonna lie. It was really fascinating to hear from these women who were so intelligent, and they were saying how on some of these pro teams there's like 30-year-old men holding up 13-year-old girls, which is not, that's not like immediate red flag, let's fire this guy, that's not fair, but it is a weird dynamic that you're not going to see in many other places. Even in dance, you wouldn't have those ages dancing together unless... No, I can't even think of an example when you'd have those ages dancing together. So that's a bit odd, especially as a... Imagine as a dad, your little 12-year-old girl's getting lifted up by a 30-year-old man. It's just a bit weird.
That would get weird really fast. Yeah. No doubt about that. Yeah, I just couldn't even imagine. But another thing, too, it's crazy... I guess with most sports, but that I feel like cheer even more so, how your expiry date,
I know,
comes so fast. Like, sure, I guess on the world USA national like cheer teams there are 30-year-olds, but I feel like that's full blown the
max. That's pushing it.
Yeah. I'm just gonna have to cut off this really long pause.
Do you want me to ask you a question?
No, I had a question. Okay. Did you like season 1 better or season 2?
That's what I was going to ask you. I preferred season 2 because to me it was just so much more dynamic and complex. I heard through the grapevine, because I'm always trolling the pop culture interwebs, that a lot of people didn't like season 2 because it was just like such a hodgepodge of chaos. But that's COVID, baby. Like, that's what the last 2 years have been like for everybody. And the second season, for those of you who don't know, spans basically from September 2020 to like July 2021 or something like that. But essentially it covers the whole...
Or even before COVID started.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I think it was... Sorry, September 2019. Exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry. So you can see how hyped they are to go to Daytona and the vibes are good. And then you just see when COVID first gets announced, they're kind of blasé about it, like, oh, this is so weird, but it's not going to affect us. And then just like everybody else in the world, everything's shut down, they go home, they're depressed. And then so it was just, it took you on a ride. And but I think what I like the most is that it introduced you to so many new people. Not just, it introduced you to a whole new team, which was such an intriguing dynamic as a viewer, to be rooting on both teams and comparing both teams. It just made it more interesting. But also, they were interviewing choreographers. They were interviewing more parents. They were interviewing the victims. They were just it wasn't just about cheer anymore. It was about so many other broad topics that are relevant to today's society. And it took me on a journey. It definitely took me on an emotional, spiritual, physical, mental journey. What about you? Which one did you prefer?
I couldn't agree more. I talked to a friend and she was like, oh, season one was so much better because it was actually about the cheerleading. And I'm like, season two was mental. I was obsessed. I couldn't agree more. It was just so much more emotional. Seeing the rivalry, like, that was huge. But the craziest thing about it is I was so happy when the team, when Trinity Valley yeah. won, and so heartbroken all at the exact same time. They both deserved to win. I wanted them both to win, but that can never happen. And that was just, I'm still recovering emotionally from it.
Yeah, I was super happy because I am a sucker for the underdog. And I feel like it was a very biased perspective. I don't know. I noticed throughout the season, I was like, they're really trying to hype up Trinity Valley and kind of cast a shadow on Navarro. I definitely feel like the producers were trying to make you fall in love with Trinity Valley, obviously, because they win. But it almost painted Navarro as these stuck up, you know, they win all the time and they get all the fame and they get all the opportunity. So of course, I'm just a lamb and I'm following their lead. I'm like, yeah, give it to the underdogs, give it to the kids who deserve it. And even Jada, I found so inspiring. I think she was my favorite. She was intense. She was an intense energy. I don't know how I would even react to her in real life, but I really admired how such a young woman had such a strong voice. She was so bold. She was so strong. And just people like that, like even Vontae, like you fall in love with Vontae. You fall in love with like all the new kids who love tumbling, but they don't know how to express themselves and you're hoping that they'll learn. It was more humbling, I think, to watch Trinity Valley. Navarro was a little bit, they were just spiraling into chaos. Like everything was going wrong for them. And I felt so bad for Monica. What are your thoughts on the Dancing with the Stars? Do you think she should have gone or do you think she should have stayed with her team?
I'm so happy she went. Like, yeah. I'm a diehard Monica fan. I definitely think season two, like, season one, she was a queen. She's a goat in every way.
She's
the goat. Yep. Yeah. But she still is. I agree. Like, I will defend Monica till the day I die. But season two, obviously, the producers, like, love her and the world does. But I feel like in season two, they were like casting a shadow on her as well.
No, they were, I think, no, that was, she's questioning if she said the right thing. Yeah, no,
like,
that's fine.
Is that a term?
They were like villainizing her a little bit.
Yes.
But I don't think it was the producers villainizing her as much as culture and society completely. Yeah. And they wanted to show what a toll it was taking on her. I think Monica was extremely inspirational this season. And even just watching how forgiving she is with the kids, how she's helping them with their homework, how she's counting all their costumes. She's literally a mother to all of these kids. But yeah, society definitely turned their back on her after the Netflix show. And then she goes, but like she had said that Dancing with the Stars was her dream her whole life. She loved that show. And I'm so proud of her. It's so hard for women, especially mothers, especially middle-aged women, to do things for themselves, to chase dreams. You almost feel like everything you do is for the benefit of other people. And that was a radical decision for her to just like peace out and go live her dream. And it sucks that people made her feel so bad for that, including, what's his name, Ladarius.
Oh yeah, that drama.
Fuck him, honestly.
No, I fully agree, especially because you and I even talk about it, Sarah, how we're wanting to have kids one day. So it's so inspirational as a woman who also cares about her career to see a woman who full out did it all. Mm-hmm. She had the kids. She also has 100+ other kids that she coaches for so many years. She's such a mother figure to all of them. And then also goes on Dancing with the Stars, gets gold almost every single year. So of course, like, she has her struggles like we all do, but she is a boss woman that I so look up to and am inspired by. So yes, I'm so happy she went on Dancing with the Stars. And yeah. I didn't watch it. That's not something
Me
I
either,
watch.
Yeah.
I'm curious how she did.
I don't think she did very well.
I'm so obsessed with her, so I think I'll go back and see.
Yeah, we should watch some clips. I think you're totally right. She's such an inspiration, and it's such a testament to her character, how her teammates, sorry, not her teammates, her students spoke about her. Who gives a crap what, like, some random trolls in Alabama think about you? They don't know you. What matters is the people who work with you day in and day out and are learning from you. That's what matters. And those kids had except for Ladarius, who has his own issues, they had nothing but good things to say about her. In fact, they were defending her, being like, why does everyone think she's so strong, but she's breaking down? But the scene, I just have to say, my two favorite scenes. The first one, like you mentioned, was when Dee did his little, like,
obsessed.
Yeah. It was cinematic perfection. Yeah. The second was when Ladarius is fishing in this, like, sketchy little pond, and there's a duck that keeps trying to get up in his, and they called her Rebecca. And if you know anything about Amanda and I, we love Ted Lasso, and our favorite character is Rebecca, and we call her Queen Rebecca, and we literally almost named Darla Rebecca because we love Rebecca so much. But he was trying to get this duck away. It was the opening of an episode, and he's like, Rebecca, are you trying to get hurt? Like, move, Rebecca. And then the duck kept coming back. And it was just like, something about that scene just cracked me up. Like, Ladarius is lovable to an extent, but he, like everybody else, just kind of seemed to lose his shit with all the glitz and the glam and the fame. And you get this crazy platform to speak your mind, but sometimes that can give you a soapbox to just spew toxicity and people will validate you. Okay, my next question is, do you think it was, like, appropriate for them to put these 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds on Netflix to tell their story, or do you think that should have been handled more privately?
I'm so happy they did that.
Me too.
I can only imagine the hate they had from speaking out and the hate that their mother had, especially not so much in Canada, but clearly in the USA. The cheerleading world is massive.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart how they were probably so ostracized and to this day still are. So this gave them their true voice where people aren't twisting the story. Like, we heard it straight from the source.
I know.
And it could not be more clear. Yes, we all loved, what was his name?
Jerry.
Again? We all loved Jerry so, so, so much. But also, like, lovable people can make horrible mistakes and do terrible things, and they should be punished for what they've done. Mm. So, no, I'm really, really happy they showed that. It was uncomfortable and heartbreaking to see, but sometimes uncomfortable things happen.
And they showed a lot of uncomfortable, they discussed a lot of uncomfortable stuff, including the Jerry thing. And I'm super glad they got a platform as well. And it's so easy to doubt what a victim says from afar, like a third party anonymous story. To actually look the kids in the eyes and see the pain in their face, they told the story so coherently, so clearly. Obviously, they're not making it up. And their mom was another example of a boss-ass bitch mother, like protective mama bear, but she didn't freak out. She didn't lose her mind. Loved that mother.
They all just laid out the facts.
Yeah.
Like, and this is what happened.
Yeah.
So believe what you want, but this is the truth.
And the facts were terrifying, to be honest, and disgusting. And, I mean, I loved Jerry during season one as much as the next person, but I really did like, I thought one thing that was important was, and dark, there was two things. One was when Maddie was talking about how her father was arrested for rape, mm-hmm. and you could just see how much that's impacted her as a young woman. I mean, of course, every woman, that's like a huge fear or like a huge trauma if you've gone through that. But I can't imagine your father being arrested for that. That's that, and she handled it very gracefully. And I loved Maddie, but that was a moment when I was like, damn, this girl's strong. And she clearly channels it into her perfectionism with cheer. But another was when they were talking, all the students were talking about their relationship to Jerry, and Gabby just admitted, I still like love him as a family member. Like, he did a horrible thing and I'm not condoning what he did, but I can't just turn off all of my feelings and all of my memories. And she's gotten some hate for that from what I've seen, because some people think you should never, ever condone a predator. But I think condoning and just having a little bit of a torn up heart and a little bit of empathy are very different things. Again, he's being punished for the bad things he did, but I don't want to think of anybody in that predicament. it's just a hard pill to swallow, especially American prisons are not necessarily the most humane places. I don't know. I think Gabby was very brave for being honest about that.
Well, just think of your own family that you love with all your heart unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And if you found out that one of those family members did something horrible, it'd be the most devastating thing in the world. But you can't, it's your unconditional love for someone. You can't turn it off. It's not like a light switch. So I really respect her opening up about that. And I'm sure the whole rest of the team, including Monica, feels the exact same way. Mm-hmm. But that's just really hard to open up about.
Yeah.
And I was super touched by the Maddie stuff. I know a lot of the people, probably more than half, had like the opposite of a white picket fence background.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that because I can relate to it. So it's so nice to see kids just... It doesn't mean that they're not struggling, but being able to just move on with their life and do great things. Something. Yeah. And I also just really respect her saying that. Like, that is so scary to say, especially because Maddie's still super young.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm able to comfortably, if someone asks me, like, oh, like, where's your dad? I can be like, oh, like, well, he went to jail when I was 14 and I haven't seen him since.
Mm-hmm.
But that's taken years to be able to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing but respect and just super inspirational for myself as well to know, like, okay, just because your parent did something, that doesn't mean that you have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even some of them were more vague than others, but every single, Netflix gave each of these kids at least one segment to talk about something. And even for Jillian, for example, she talked a little bit about how she had some issues with her mom and she didn't like living with her mom. So they sort of highlighted her amazing friendship with Cassidy, or is that what her name? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they called her Jilly Bean. And then you just, stuff like that was so sad in a way, but also wholesome, because everybody knows families like that, friends like that. This wasn't a typical reality show. Like, you could compare it to Selling Sunset. Amanda and I both fucking love Selling Sunset, but that is pure like glitz, glam, highlight reel. I mean, of course they showed the Chris Schell divorce and all that, but it's still very sugar-coated and edited. These kids, you just can't help but fall in love with them because they're just kids. Like, they're just like anybody, and it's so brilliant to see them turn maybe their anger or their frustration or whatever's going on into their physical outlet, which would be cheer. And for me, that is what saved me. I always say to people, like, dance and choreography saved me in high school. I mean, I was going through some shit with my parents divorcing and just lots of stuff going on. And if I didn't have my dog and dance, I would have probably started going down a really bad path of, you know, drinking or partying or sex or whatever. Instead, I had a studio go to, I had dances to work towards, I had goals, and I had standards. And these kids have standards. Even like that coach got, we never talked about that, but that coach got fired for like drinking alcohol with some of the students. Shit like that. Like, that was really, and that doesn't mean that man is a horrible guy, and he owned up to it, which was great. But it was just like really bold of Netflix it's like they put all of the drama and all the shit and all the messiness and all the chaos right out in the open, and they just addressed everything head on, which I thought was really bold. But it seems to be kind of turning people the wrong way, because they want like escapism. They don't want to be faced with these hard truths of, but the last 2 years have been hard, okay? And like, you can't ignore COVID, especially if you're in a competitive sport. What do you think? Do you think TV should address COVID in the next coming years, like especially reality TV? Or do you think we should just like pretend it didn't happen for the sake of romanticizing life or whatever?
Might as well just, it happened.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day it'll be a thing of the past. But I kind of like how we were able to have a flashback of, like you said, when it first started,
it was trippy.
I was like, whoa, this is just so exactly what happened. We're all like, oh, this is no big deal, la, la, la.
Yeah.
Then everyone's scared.
Yeah.
And then life shut down. And then, no, it happened. It's a thing. Kids are going to learn about it. History books won't exist. Everyone's going to be having history on their iPad.
Yeah.
But it's something we're all going to remember and learn about. So we just have to face it and acknowledge it. It sucks, but, you know, no one ever said life was going to be fair. And
I know. Like, the new Sex and the City show, for example, this is just a little tangent, but they briefly addressed COVID at the beginning, like, oh, we don't have to wear masks anymore. Great. Like, literally, they said two or three words about it and moved on, mm-hmm. which makes sense for that show because that's a nonfiction show. For something like Cheer, that's literally about children doing a competitive sport, it would be irresponsible not to talk about the impact of COVID, because I teach dance and I've seen the horrible impact that COVID has had on not only dance teachers, but parents and students. And it's been so hard for them, and all of the things that they typically work towards or enjoy, like competitions, recitals, exams, they've been canceled for the last 2.5 years or 2 years. And so if that's the subject matter, you can't gloss over it, because it really took a toll on not just the students, but the coaches and the institutions. My final question is...
Oh, okay. I have a question for you. Okay, so after watching the docuseries, would you want your child to be a cheerleader?
No. We talked about this.
Really?
Not on the podcast, but in person. I was like, Amanda, I really don't want my kids to do cheerleading or even gymnastics. I get a lot of anxiety when people fly through the air. Like, I really don't enjoy it. I hate those, like, YouTube video compilations of people hurting themselves because they, like, fly off a bike or something. It makes my stomach turn. I don't think I'd handle it very well. My kids will be going into dance whether they like it or not. Just kidding, but not kidding. But cheerleading is not really a big thing in Canada. And if it is, it's like you're doing high school cheer, and it's not the same insanity that they do in the States. But if that's really what my kid wanted to do and it brought a smile to their face, of course I'd support it. But it just would terrify me that they'd break their face.
That is a hard no.
Hard no.
I would want my kids to be in cheerleading just because that show inspired me so much. Oh, and I think I'd want to vicariously live through them.
Oh my gosh, you'll be a cheer mom.
But that is why my final answer is actually no, because I can already see it in myself. I'd become like a psycho cheer dance
like Gabby's mom.
Yeah. Again, I don't think she's that bad.
Oh, I hate her.
I know. You didn't like the part where she was like, why does everyone cheer for the
underdogs?
But she was honestly just being motherly. Like, her daughter is the GOAT for cheerleading. So she's like, you know what? It's not fair because my daughter's so amazing that everyone's cheering against her.
Yeah, but that's...
So, again, that was just her being motherly, so I respect that.
She was worse in the first season. She was, like, full momager in the first season.
But yeah, so I worry that I would get to that because, like, I'm so obsessed with Mango, my dog. Like, he is my everything. He's my son. And, like, he doesn't even talk. So, but maybe that's why I feel like I have so much power. I have to talk for him. But no, so I worry that I would just be a psycho cheer mom.
I cannot see that for you. I can't.
Thank you.
I can see that for me. This section would look so much better if Rebecca was in the front. And Rebecca, of course, is going to be my daughter. But I wouldn't say that to anyone, but I'd think it. Or I'd, like, make sure her makeup looks better than other girls' makeup.
Hopefully, you just have boys.
I don't want boys.
I know.
Amanda wants boys. I want girls. But I might curse the day that I ever said that. I still can't remember what my question. Oh yeah, okay. Do you think they're gonna do a season 3/ do you think they should do a season 3?
I hope so. I'm waiting.
I know.
I'm obsessed. Like, I'm gonna start cheering if they don't do season 3, since that is just my life right now. I'm gonna have to become a cheerleader.
And we literally did a recap of Selling Sunset season 2 season 4. Was it 4? Yeah. When it came out on the ferry, but the audio was so messed up that I just had to scrap it. But we'd probably like to do fun little recaps like this just once in a while with things that Amanda and I both watch and that are culturally relevant. It's not going to be like our everyday content, obviously, but we'll probably do it for season 5, Selling Sunset. I think that comes out in February.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Maybe I made that up, but I think it's February or March, I think.
I'm obsessed.
That could be your birthday present.
Yeah. That show, like, love it, of course. Not as much as cheer, like, truly makes me cry, makes me laugh, makes me sad, angry, all the emotions. But Selling Sunsets makes me want to have millions and millions of dollars and have a fancy house, and I don't know if that's a good thing.
Selling Sunset makes me just want to dress better, get a fake tan, get fake nails, get fake everything. Like, I just want, they just look so good every damn day. And here I am looking homeless, walking around, walking my dog. Like, actually, I've really let go of myself since I had a child.
It's because you're hanging out with me too much. I always look homeless.
I pulled myself together for my dinner last night. But I wanted to say, we hit 1,000 listens.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got to make you a cake.
Yes, yes. As promised, contractually, verbally, in the last episode, Amanda's going to make me a cake. But no, it's us a cake because I couldn't have done it without her. I know 1,000 listens in today's world is nothing. And, it's really not a lot compared to most podcasts. But it's a really great... It's actually really not that bad considering we've only done 13 episodes. This will be our 14th.
So thank you guys. We are so stoked.
Yeah. And we have listeners from Ukraine, France, Poland, which would be probably Amanda's family, like Beata. Hey. We have listeners from the States. We have listeners from all over, which you can't make that shit up. Like, that is the analytics. And I'm just freaking out. I've had people like friends of friends or whatever who listen, like, quote the podcast back to me. And you don't even understand how much that brings me joy, because this truly has just become my passion, my thing. Like, I feel like I finally found what I'm meant to do. And 1,000 listens is something I'm very proud of and Amanda's proud of. So we just wanted to thank you for listening and supporting us. We know we've been annoying, like me specifically, like pestering people for please listen, please do this, please do that. But you know, you got to hustle until you make it to the top, and then you don't have to hustle so much anymore. But thank you so much. And we have some really nice ratings and reviews that have come in the last few days. So thank you for those. They warm our hearts to read. So just keep it coming, guys. We will be here. We have no plans on stopping, whether you like it or not. So you might as well get on the train.
I have nothing to add. That was amazing, Sarah. Agreed. I'm so proud of you for doing everything and letting me join the fun.
Yes, I do everything. It's true. So Amanda can do the cake. No, it's all good. I have learned so much, not only about myself, but just about podcasting. And I don't know. It's brought Amanda and I so much closer. I think we were always friends, but this has made us like partners, like life partners, lesbian lovers. But also, I think our friends and family back home in Ontario really enjoy it because they can hear our voice, they can hear our laughs. So I'm just so happy. I'm so proud we took the chance to do this. And it's only up from here. 2022 will be a year of growth, both spiritually and in our numbers and in our wallet.
And in our cheer stunts.
Yes, yes. Okay, so we're going to go. We have no idea what to talk about next week, so let us know if you have any recommendations, and we will tackle them. Remember to follow us on Instagram at 20.somethings.podcast, or you can follow me at Sarah Birch, Sarah with an H, Birch with a T, or you can follow Mango at mango.the.golden.boy. Other than that, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, and we love you. Take care of yourself and go do some cartwheels.
And see you next week.
Bye. Yeah.